If you would like to follow in your Bibles today while I bring the message, I want you to turn, please, with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. I'll be speaking from verses 10 and 11. My subject today is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. Now, one of the secrets that I've discovered during the many years that I've been a pastor and preaching the gospel, over 40 years now, I've discovered this secret. The sermon or message, which is the greatest blessing to the congregation, is that message which was first a blessing to the heart of the pastor or preacher who prepared it. In other words, if God speaks to me through His Word, then I can speak to you. If God makes a certain passage of Scripture or message a blessing to my heart, then I can preach it to you and He'll make it a blessing to you. But it's got to bless me first. It's got to take hold of my heart first. I can't tell what I don't know. I cannot preach with any authority that which I have not experienced. If God's pleased to teach me, then I can teach others. But I cannot teach others if I have not been taught. I cannot be a blessing to you if the Word has not been a blessing to me. That would be hypocrisy. You see, a man cannot tell what he doesn't know. So this being true, and it is true, the message that is the greatest blessing to the hearer has first been a blessing to the preacher. And that being true, what I'm going to preach to you today should be a special blessing to you, because this scripture that I've chosen for my text has certainly been blessed of God to my heart. I have, in the past several weeks, gone through a very difficult sickness and trial. And I believe during the entire time that I've been away and I've been sick, I believe this particular portion of God's Word meant as much or more to me than any of the Scripture I read during this time. And here it is in 1 Peter 5. You'll take your Bible and follow while I read it. I'll read two verses, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 5. And the Apostle Peter says this, "But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, in this fifth chapter of the book of 1 Peter, I can't cover every verse. We don't have the time. But I can tell you this. In the earlier verses of this chapter, Peter has been telling the people of God to expect trouble and trials and difficulties in this world. He calls them afflictions. He says, I believe it's in the seventh or eighth verse, he said, "These afflictions are common afflictions. They're common to all your brethren which are in this world." In other words, our walk through this world with the Lord is a good life. It's a happy life. But it's not necessarily an easy life. You see what I'm saying? This is what Peter's saying. It's like our Lord told His disciples in John 16. He said, "Now in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble and heavy trials. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this world." And that's what Peter's saying here in chapter 5. He said, expect it. It's common. It's common. It's common afflictions. It's the afflictions which are suffered by all of your brethren which are in this world. Trouble and trials and difficulties and sorrow. In our walk through this world, we're going to have afflictions. And that's when he says, but. Verse 10, my text. But the God of all grace, who hath called you to his eternal glory through Jesus Christ, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect and establish you and strengthen you and settle you. To God be the glory and dominion. Now, to help you to follow this message and to remember it, I'm going to ask five questions. I think this will be helpful. I'm going to ask five questions, and here are the questions. First of all, who is he? Peter said he's the God of all grace. That's who he is. And then what has he done? He has called you. He's called you according to a purpose. He's called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what can we expect? Trouble and suffering after you've suffered for a while. And what will he do for you? He'll make you perfect. And he'll establish you and strengthen you and settle you. And why will he do all this for you and for me? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, here's the first question. Isn't that simple? That's the way we ought to preach, simply. Our Lord did in simple words that people could understand. Now, here's the first question. Who is he? Who is our God? Well, this scripture says he's the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. You know, our Lord is called in Romans 15 the God of hope. Hope. The God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing on his name. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he's called the God of comfort. Paul writes, the God of comfort, who comforts us in our troubles and trials and suffering, in order that we may comfort others. He's the God of all comfort. And then he's called in Ephesians 1, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 13, he's the God of peace, the God of hope, the God of comfort, the giver of Christ Jesus, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. But here, who is he? The God of all grace. Not some grace, all grace. He's the God of, he's the source of, he's the giver of all grace. All grace. Now, all of the grace which we have experienced, all of the grace that we will experience all the way home to glory is from God. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's the God of all grace. Now, what does this do? Well, it sweeps away all thoughts of human merit, all thoughts of human deeds and human works making any contribution in the matter of our salvation. It gives God all the credit and all the glory because he is the God of all grace. Do you see that? Who is he? He's the God of all grace. Not some grace. All grace. And that does away with any works or deeds or merit on our part. Everything we have, God has given us in Christ our Lord. Who made you to differ? What have you received? What have you that you have not received? Now, if you received it, why would you boast? He's the God of all grace. Well, what is grace? What is grace? Now, think about this a moment. I know the standard definition. People say grace is unmerited favor, and it is. Someone else says, well, grace is unsought mercy. Well, it is. And grace is undeserved love, and it is. Now, there's the definition. It's the unmerited favor, unsought mercy, and undeserved love. But now, you listen, let me define grace down here where we live. That's sort of the theological or intellectual definition of grace. But I'll tell you what grace is. Grace is the faithful forgiving the unfaithful. It's like a faithful husband forgiving an unfaithful wife, or vice versa. It's all right. I forgive you. What is grace? It's grace is receiving the runaway son and giving him a kiss and welcoming home and never bringing up the problem. What is grace? It's forgetting the offense. I mean forgetting it. Someone says, well, I did you wrong. I don't remember that. You don't remember it, and I don't even remember it. That's grace. Grace is canceling the unpaid debt. We keep bringing it up. You know, he beat me out of so much money, or he beat me out of this, or beat me out. Grace is canceling it, as if it never occurred. Grace is unending pardon. Peter said, well, how many times shall I forgive him? 7 times? That's ridiculous. No, you don't have to forgive him 7 times. 70 times 7. That's grace. You see, that's only God. That's not our nature. That's not in us. That's not of us. That's not true of us. That's not the nature of human beings. That's only the nature of God. He's the God of all grace. That's not found in you. That's not found in me. He's the God of all grace. See, grace is not for the good. Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is not for the good. Mercy is for the miserable. Salvation is not for righteous people. It's for sinners. He's the God of all grace. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, fulfilling the lust of our flesh and the pride of our lives and the lust of our eyes. But God, who is rich in grace, rich in love. You see, rich in grace for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. We don't love like that. We don't forgive like that. We don't think like that. We're not like that. He's the God of all grace. It's not found anywhere but in God. That's right. Come now, he said, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them like wool. He's the God of all grace. That's the God I'm preaching. That's the God Peter is preaching here. The God of all grace. No grace outside of God. Unheard of. Well, what hath he done, this God of all grace? He hath called us. Us? Who are so unlike him? That's right. He's called us unto his eternal glory. Eternal glory, not a little play-like party here on this earth, socially religious. He's called us to eternal glory by Jesus Christ. What does it say? He called us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We didn't love him. He loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We didn't call on him. He called on us. He called us by his spirit, by his power, by his word, by his gospel, to faith in him, whom he foreknew. He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, and whom he predestinated, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? Well, I say, if God be for us, who can be against us? He called us the God of all grace. He says to Moses, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be gracious. God is gracious. All grace is of God, from God, to guilty sinners. But it's conferred upon whom he will. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. The Son quickeneth whom he will. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. He said, I've called you by name. You're mine. Paul said in 2 Timothy, he saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. He called us to what? To some little empty profession here on the earth, to some little reformation, to some little party, to some little denomination, to some little show. No, to eternal glory. When all my labors and trials are over, when I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, that'll be glory, eternal glory. How can I speak of eternal glory? I've never seen it. And the only human being that ever saw it and came back was the Apostle Paul, and he wouldn't say anything about it. He said, I can't. Why, he said, I heard things up there it's not lawful to utter. But I'll tell you something about that glory, that eternal glory. I'll let you in on a little preview. My Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed in Gethsemane's garden, he said, the glory that thou hast given me, I've given them. Now you think about that. Glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. And he's called us. You know, salvation is not just a reformation, a change of direction, a change of habits, a change of companions. I tell you, this thing of salvation is unto eternal glory. And it's by Jesus Christ. All that we are, all that we have, all that we ever shall be is in, by, because of, and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in Christ. It's by Christ. He, the God of all grace, hath conferred that grace upon you and called you to His eternal glory. He said it's reserved in heaven for you. It's undefiled. It's incorruptible. It can't fade away because it's God's own glory. And He's called you to that glory by Jesus Christ. Now watch this. What must we do? Well, it says after you've suffered a while, the toil, the trouble, you'll not be spared. The suffering, it's the lot of all Adam's race. Because of the fall, because of sin. And the Lord's people are not exempt. Why would you think for a moment that you should be? David said this, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. The God of all comfort, comfort you in your tribulation and trouble that you might comfort others. The God of all grace, after you've suffered. Have you suffered? All of God's people suffer. God had only one son without sin. That's Christ. But he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And they who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. You're going to suffer in heart, broken heart, loneliness, trouble. You're going to suffer in body. You won't be spared. Pain, sickness. Your children are going to bring heartache to you. Your grandchildren. You ever suffered because of your children? Your heart been broken? We suffer in soul, grieving over our sin. Don't you grieve over your sin? Don't you look back over your life and wish you'd done things a little differently? And you grieve over it? Yeah, after you've suffered. But thank God for this little word, a while. I'm glad that's in there. Not forever. The unbeliever suffers forever. But he said, after you've suffered a while, just a while, just a while. Psalm 30 says this, weeping endures for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Weeping endures for the night, but we watch for the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. Isaiah 54 says this, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. For a small moment, God said, have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I'll gather thee someday, after a while. And I'll tell you this, our light affliction, and I know it doesn't seem light now. We know that, don't we? But it's only for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, because the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. After you suffered a while. I'm so glad I can say that, a while. After you suffered. And then fourth question, what's he doing? What's he doing through these sufferings and troubles and toils and trials and tribulation, the God of all grace, He's still the God of grace, no matter whether I'm down or up. He's still the God of grace. It's still grace. Whatever God sends into my life is for my good. All things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And after you've suffered a while, He says He's going to make you perfect. Now we are, let me tell you something. We are perfect in Christ. We have a perfect righteousness. We have a perfect salvation. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we will one day be perfect. We'll be like our Lord. But the word here is maturity. You see, all that God brings to pass in the lives of His people is in order that they might grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whether abounding or whether abased, it's for our good and for our growth. So God's going to make you a mature believer. You're going to grow. And then He said, not only make you perfect or mature, but He's going to establish you. This signifies stability. Now, the Apostle Peter was unstable at one time. You know that. He denied the Lord. But while he was at that time unstable, God was sending things into his life to make him stable. And so here you have that man who was unfaithful at one time, yet later on, faithful unto death. You have that man who wavered. And all he said, though these other fellows deny you, I never will. He was the one that did. And while he wavered at this time, he was the one who stood face to face with all of the Pharisees and Sanhedrin. And he said, shall I obey God or men? I can't help but preach those things which I've seen and which I've heard. And they crucified him upside down. Yeah, it takes some time to be established. It takes a lifetime, sometimes. It takes a long time. And it takes some hills and some valleys and some mountains and some floods and some trials and some troubles and some difficulties. But that's what He's doing. See, the God of all grace. And let him run your life. Don't. My times are in thy hands. My God, I want them there. You see, the God of all grace and whatever He sends is gracious, is good. Who called you to His eternal glory? He's got good things for you, good things in store by Jesus Christ. After you've suffered a while, He's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you, and He's going to strengthen you. We're weaklings. I'm a weakling. You are too. Down here, we're all weaklings. But I tell you this, when we're weak, that's when we're strong. If you ever find out you are weak in yourself, that's when you'll draw from Him His strength and His grace and His glory. You see, He's my strength. Less dependence on ourselves and more upon our God. He'll strengthen you. And He'll do it in a way that you don't expect. I asked the Lord for this and He gave me that. You see, we might want success and He sends us failure, but in that He strengthens us. He shows us what we are and who He is. And then He said, I'll settle you. Everything in this world is unsettled. Unsettled, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little days. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories fade away. Change and decay in all around me I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. He's going to settle me. Settle me on the foundation. Have you ever seen a new building? A concrete block building is bad about this, but they'll build a concrete block building and after a while there'll be a big crack down the side. What's it doing? It's settling. Settling. Moving. But I tell you, after a while, after a few years of come and gone, no more cracks. You can patch that one up because it's not going to move. It's down on the foundation as far as it's going. And that happens to us all through our lives. We shift and we waver and we fail and we falter and we fumble. But God's settling us. He said, I lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a true, sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. That's Christ our Lord. Settle, I shall not be moved. on the Rock of Ages. Now, why does the Lord do all this? The God of all grace called you and me after we suffered a while. Go make us perfect, establish us and strengthen us. And why is he doing all that? To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. This is a true test of all that we preach and believe. Who gets the glory? Who gets the credit? Who gets the honor? Who gets the praise? I tell you this, everything God does is for his glory. If God's in it, he gets the glory. He said in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward you through Christ Jesus.